Well, thank you. And I think Jason and Ken have said, have given you a lot of good background and already good advice so far. But first, I want to thank all of you for coming. Conservation Law Foundation has tried over the past more than 3 years to be a resource to all of you as you think about this particular project and as you try to navigate all these permitting processes that are overlapping and complicated. And we hope to continue to do that. If you don't see my stuff on Twitter, you don't get my emails, I strongly encourage you to sign up in the back on the sheet, because I do try to. I'm both trying to advocate through what we're doing, but for our interests, for what Conservation Law Foundation fights for. But we're also trying to make this process more open, and that's one of the reasons we're very grateful for the organizers in putting us together, because it is opaque for many of you, and it may be the only time you interact with energy siting. And it's a big, complicated area where you have a lot of practitioners on both the developer side at the state level and within the nonprofit community who have been at the rodeo before. And it's important to try to open that up as much as we can. So that's what we've been trying to do. My agenda, I will try to keep it brief because, in fact, you've heard a number of things already on these issues. But what issues should towns focus on? It's kind of the big question for the small towns facing a project like Northern Pass. And it's a question you should be thinking about now and not when you have to look at this enormous application, and you have a very short time window to figure it out. You have some time, and it's a good idea to think about it carefully now. As your handout attests, and as Jason reviewed, the areas that are in the statute, very important to familiarize yourself with those and think critically about them. In most respects, they are not defined in the statute. And that means you have this concept of orderly development, for example. What does orderly development mean? Well, actually, it's up to the Site Evaluation Committee in each proceeding, really, to define it. And they do look at past decisions that they've made, and there is a body of decisions they've made. But unlike in a court, where you can actually say, this definition is binding on you. You can come in as a litigant and say to the judge, this definition, that the Court of Appeals made that decision about what that definition means. And you can use that, and that's binding. That's the law. In the SEC, it's a little bit looser. Orderly development can mean different things in different proceedings. That may be encouraging, may be discouraging. So as you look at these areas, orderly development is hard to put your finger on. Unreasonable adverse effect is also extremely vague. What's unreasonable? And what goes into the Site Evaluation Committee's consideration of what, how do they judge that? So we have these issues that are potential places for a town to go. And I guess the guidance I would provide and the way I look at this is that orderly development is kind of clearly within the town's sweet spot. They are in charge of land use planning within their borders. They participate extensively in regional planning exercises and have extensive contacts with regional planning commissions. They also look at these very land use areas that are at the core of what the Site Evaluation Committee looks at. There's a strong focus within towns on wetlands issues. And we've seen already some strong examples of towns looking at the wetlands that would be impacted, and using their expertise and their manpower, to look at that from an engineering perspective. What does it mean to change this particular wetland? And is this something we would approve in our town if the SEC wasn't involved? Public health and safety is also an important area. We've seen fire protection be an issue. We've seen where roads are in relation to other roads. Those are also kind of key issues that towns deal with all the time when there are development projects. And so the town has considerable legitimacy and, you know, weight when they come into the SEC and talk about those issues. Land conservation, water quality, some of these things that the towns focus on are also things that towns can bring to the SEC's attention. You may be thinking about local fiscal matters. That is obviously an area where towns spend most of their time thinking about their budget, the tax base of the town, what, and that's a big area in this Northern Pass case. What will Northern Pass do to the tax base of the town? One of the tricks here is that it doesn't fit naturally into these findings if you parse them out, what the effects are on a tax base. Now, I would argue that it's within orderly development, within that finding. But I want to, you know, warn you that on the basis of the law as it stands, there will be arguments coming back that isn't that relevant to the finding, or it may be more challenging. So local tax impacts, local property value impacts, they fit within this orderly development concept, but they're one little piece of a big puzzle, and that may make it a little harder to make that the fundamental issue that, you know, is the go or no go for the project. Another thing that I want to mention that local towns have a lot of expertise and knowledge about that the SEC may not is on the historic sites and cultural resources of the town. In many cases, the town records are much more comprehensive on various issues than the state's historic office, which is actually, under the current manifestation of the SEC, the historic folks are on the SEC. And there's also a relationship with the federal permitting process, because the federal permitting process has this thing called a Section 106 review under federal law. That's coordinated and managed in part by the state historic office. But the towns tend to have more, you know, whether it's the official historic commission or it's a local historic nonprofit that's looking after certain resources, they have that information. And if there is an impact from the project, it's incumbent upon those who know of that impact to make sure that it's part of the process. So how do you get this information into the SEC? You've heard a little bit about this so far, but there's a number of ways. And as Ken said, you don't need to hire an expert necessarily. But for many of these issues, wetlands, for example, Northern Pass, to take that example, has hired Norman Doe Associates and a variety of subcontractors, and they will be presenting expert information and testimony on wetlands issues, on natural resource issues. And so it's important, I think, to look at that issue as a town and say, is this wetlands issue or is this natural resource issue critical to us? And if it is, that's when you start to think about, should I hire an expert consultant? Planning boards routinely hire expert consultants on engineering issues that the applicants pay for in development proceedings. And I think that in that, you should be thinking about that type of assistance. But with respect to historic sites, for example, it may not be necessary to go out and hire an archaeologist. The folks who are involved in those issues at the local level may be the right witnesses to bring that information to the SEC. The other big one, and we've already seen a huge amount of activity thanks to all sorts of local effort, enactments, resolutions, ordinances, and maybe something that's been underemphasized, but I'd encourage you to emphasize it, master plans. These official acts or pronouncements or regulations will be part of the SEC proceeding. And they are a way to get that information in without having to hire an expert and put it in. You can make those views of the municipality known in really compelling ways that then the site evaluation committee has to grapple with. And that's kind of brings me to my second point here, which is what's the role of municipal input? Well, for some of these issues, it's just the same as any other intervening party. You're a party, and it's kind of a war at the SEC as to, you know, whose evidence is best, who has credible witnesses, and who's prevented the best case. And in the case of municipalities, they are a bit special because the finding on orderly development includes this provision that the SEC has to give, quote, due consideration, another undefined term, to what municipal planning commissions and governing bodies say. So that's, I'll emphasize that too. The statute has this special role for planning boards and boards of selectmen. That means that the town vote of the legislative body at town meeting is important, but it isn't recognized in the statute. So it's very, very important that the Board of Selectmen's consider their role, consider what their input will be, as well as the planning boards in the town. So let me move on to talk a little bit. I'll just add one point on municipal input. Anyone can submit a comment letter to the SEC at any time, up through the close of evidence, really. Some people submit them after the close of evidence, after the close of that adjudicatory hearing, that massive trial. You can submit a comment letter at any time. That means that everyone in the room who's sitting here as a private citizen who may have a view can submit those comment letters. The municipalities, all their constituent boards can also submit letters. So if you have a conservation commission that has looked seriously at the wetlands issues associated with the project, but the town as a whole is not inclined to raise big wetlands issues, the Conservation Commission can submit a very detailed letter to the SEC raising concerns. That is a valuable piece of information for the SEC to look at and will be weighed, not to the same extent probably as if you brought your witness there and they were allowed to be cross-examined. But it's an important right that everyone has that they shouldn't forget, even if you can't do the intervention. The more substantive, the better, obviously. A brief word before I sit down on SB 245. And we have the sponsor of SB 245 in the room, and the amount of work that has gone into this over the last several months is truly amazing, and thank you, Senator Forrester, for that. For kicking off this effort and being involved throughout, and that piece of legislation would make major changes to the Site Evaluation Committee. It's currently pending in the House before the Finance Committee. And it's been a labor of love, really. And the things I want you to know about it. We expect that the House Finance Committee is going to do something good with it, give it a thumbs up, and that the full House will give final approval, and then it will be in a good form, and the Senate can concur, and it can be signed by the governor. That's the current hope. But I would say that the important changes are really in the legislation right now. They aren't going to change massively depending on what happens at the Finance Committee, for example. The changes that are relevant to towns, there is a new standard. So these three findings, there is a fourth finding. The project must serve the public interest. This is critical for towns to think about because if you look at these findings as they exist in current law, they're very negative. They're saying you can't do something terrible with your project. So the serving the public interest is a positive standard. And that means that if the bill passes, it will be very, very relevant to the SEC what the project's benefits are. And they will be relevant in that adjudicatory process. So it won't be a matter of talking points about benefits. It'll be a matter of evidence. And the question of what benefits will accrue to the community will be part of that process. So that's kind of a whole other area which I haven't talked at all about, and none of us really have, about what type of evidence would you bring in on that issue? I think that's a critical question that if the bill passes and is enacted, when the bill passes and is enacted, mm-hmm. Representative Ford is absolutely right on the ball there. And I should recognize that Representative Ford and Representative Smith, both of whom have played a huge role in this legislation. The public interest standard, there are additional opportunities for public input, so it's not just that first public hearing that's a combo that Jason described. There will be a sequence of meetings that have official status under the statute. And the other changes that you may not need to know about but are important, public members, there are two public members that are not affiliated with a state agency who will be appointed, and presumably the Northern Pass application will be heard when the bill passes by those public members. So there's also a smaller SEC. A lot of those agencies that that Jason described are off if the bill passes. You have a smaller group looking at this. It flips so that the PUC chair is now the chair of the SEC, and the chair of DES, the commissioner of DES, is now the vice chair. And there's broader ability to designate staff so that they can run multiple proceedings at the same time. And then I'll also something towns should be aware of is that there will be an administrator of the SEC. Currently, the staff is kind of cobbled together with some help from the Department of Environmental Services, but there will be an administrator. And that administrator, I would view that administrator, when that administrator is hired later this year, as a resource to the towns. Somebody to call, say, how do I participate? Without having to worry about calling up the commissioner of DES, who has the challenge of being on the adjudicatory hearing panel. You can call that administrator, get the information you need, and also get an update on where the project might be, where things might be coming. Certainly the administrator is going to have a heads up when Northern Pass is getting ready to file its application, in part because that application is going to be so huge. The thing we've heard is that they're trying to figure out where to put all the binders that are going to come in with information. So, SB 245 is a number of important changes that we encourage you to keep tabs on. We will be providing information on it once enacted that breaks it down in a little more detail. But for now, I think that's good enough. Thank you all for your time and attention, and I look forward to the discussion.